So this morning, thank all of you for coming again. I need somebody to pray. Will somebody pray? Mr. Ed?
You bet. Here we are, Lord. Just pulling up to your table and looking to you to feed us. And what a good father you are. What a banquet. We lift up our faith.
Okay, so this morning it's going to be my attempt to help us build this house so that when after today, then we have no questions unless you have some before the end of the Sunday school class, but that we have a clear insight, understanding of what happened to us at salvation and where we're going, and our purpose is to build our spiritual house until we'll leave this earth and are called home with Jesus Christ. But what I want to do is really, the purpose of my class is just to take out the struggle. With believers, we're struggling too much and we shouldn't have to struggle. We need to find the path to where we need to go, and we need to build on that, and that is truth. Truth, you have to understand, is not what I think and is not what I feel. Truth is what is the pattern, the word of God that he has left here for us to follow. And so in that, what we must do on our journey is always have a mind to be humble, to put ourselves under what God wants us to do so that we can find his way, his path. And finding that path, a lot of times people feel like, well, this is not working. Well, sometimes if it's not working, we have to find the right tools to make that work. And sometimes it's not working because of our human peace that we have, just being human. We feel like we know, or we should know already, but when you step into the kingdom, that's a whole different ball game. And I think sometimes we don't understand that. So that has been my purpose. And I hope when we finish today that will be solid for you. So I'm going to recap just a moment. Basically, everything we built on has been built upon Acts 2 and 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent, confess our sins, and ask for forgiveness, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's where everything that we've done, that's all about building the house. Now, I know in the scriptures you're going to find some other places that will kind of say the same thing, but that's kind of our basis. So just a quick recap is, we heard the gospel, the good news. We had an invitation. We were given an invitation. We believed. We repented. We confessed. We accepted Jesus into our heart. So we completed the Acts 2 and 38. Then we talked about the spiritual transformation of being taken out of one kingdom into another. So we got that piece. We have been taken out of one kingdom into another, according to Colossians 1 and 13, who hath delivered, rescued us from the power, domain of darkness, and has translated us, transferred us, you, me, into the kingdom of God's dear Son, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sins. So according to Colossians, everything that I need is in the kingdom. There is nothing, when I confess to come over and from one king to another, there is not anything in this new kingdom that I don't need, that I need. In other words, like, everything I need is in there. All I got to do is find it. And so we can't, and I'm not saying people are using excuses, but we cannot no longer say, well, I don't know if I'm making it. Yes, you do know. Either we are saved or we are not. Either we are following Christ, we are not. That's, I mean, it's that simple. I know some people say, well, Sister Faye, that's not the love of God. Honey, it's more love in me telling you truth this morning than it is somebody patting you on the back or laying your head in their lap. Because at the end of the day, I'm going to tell you something. When I'm going through anything, and me and you, all of us, in the middle of the night, when no human person is there, God is there. And so in order for him, for me, to expect for him to come and deliver me. Now, he's merciful. He can do anything he want to do because of God. And and that's a lot for us to wrap our human minds around. But in the middle of the night or when I'm in a storm, then I need to be able to cry out to someone that can come deliver me, that can help me, that can give me that peace, that can speak that word that I need. But if you don't know that he is there to help you, you won't reach out. We will melt down in our own thinking. We will melt down because we do what we have been taught, whether we realize it or not. You, everybody in here is a product of how you were raised and reared. And so what happens to that is we take that peace when we get born again and we bring it to the kingdom and say, God, help me to sift through all this stuff I've been taught and to lay down what you want me to lay down and to pick up what you want me to pick up or keep. It's that simple. It's not a hard thing. Sometimes people make it hard. It's not hard to follow Christ. It's just a decision. It's a choice. You choose to walk with him. And in that, some of us are a little bit more hard-headed than others, so it takes us a moment. And that's just the way it is. It takes us a moment to understand that who rules the new kingdom? Who rules the new kingdom? Talk to me. Who rules the new kingdom?
The king.
The king. And about the second Sunday, I think, Brother Mark talked about, I think, Brother Ed, you said something about the people, but you called it another name, in the kingdom.
The subjects.
The subjects in the kingdom. And then Brother Mark talked about in that kingdom, a subject has to choose to follow the pattern. It's a choice. It is not God doing anything to you. It is not him against you. I heard a lady the other day, she said something happened, and she said she was mad. Was actually a little girl or a teenager. She wrecked her car, and she got angry because she said, well, God did it. He allowed it to happen. And I said, really? You really feel like that? That's what her grandma was saying. I said, you know, somebody needs to sit that baby down and say, listen, honey. You wrecked your van because it was raining and you was doing 70 miles an hour with your grown self and you didn't listen to somebody to say, slow down. Now, I'm sure there was a sign somewhere along the way that says, you know, slow down when it's raining or road becomes slippery or something. I said, somebody, before she gets really, really older in her life, somebody needs to sit down and say, honey, you must follow the rules of the land. If it says 55, then you can't go 75. Now, listen, we want to thank God you came out without a scratch. That's a miracle in itself. Because off the tires on her Jeep was all tore off. That's a miracle in itself. And so what she needs is an understanding of following the rules of the kingdom. Because if you step outside of that, then there's a consequence. But God didn't do that to you. We did that to ourselves. And so we have to put the blame where it is. So if the blame is in me, then who needs to do the correcting?
Me.
I do. Okay, so that we know after the invitation, we believe, we repented, we confessed, we accepted Jesus Christ, now we are in the new kingdom. Now I want you to know that the seed that was planted in you, the seed that is planted in us, is an incorruptible seed, according to 1 Peter 1 and 23. It says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Forever. So if I chose to, now that I'm 60-ish, when I get 80-ish, does it change? Does it change at 80? Does it change at 100? Does it change for the teenager that's 15? And so those are the things, y'all, that we have to settle. And an incorruptible word, this is amazing right here. An incorruptible means it is not susceptible to corruption, not subject to death or decay. To me, that's powerful because that's the seed that Jesus has placed in our heart. You know, and that to me was like, wow. You know, even this lesson has done more for me than it's doing for you, I promise. Because to me, it's like, in order to teach something, you have to be able to be open and live it. It's not just me talking to you. This is I have to walk out. It's not just something I do. It's what I live. It's what I do. So I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful. Just know that the seed that's in you is able to keep you. It's able to be with you wherever you go. Whatever you need, you can tap into that seed. Whether that is raising children, let me back up and go from one to the other. Whether that is being a child, and then our parents are supposed to teach us the way to go. Whether that is being a teenager, and you're still under the hand of your parent and need to listen. Whether that is when I'm single, when I'm in college, before I get married, when I get married, after I have children, after they're grown, until Jesus calls us home, that word stands. And I think we have to understand that and be mindful of that so that every stage that we go through in our lives, we tap into him. One of the problems I had when I retired was I was still, you know, it takes a moment to settle down. But then in my mind, it was still, I don't know, I think I was thinking 20 or 30 maybe. But I was in 60-ish, you know. And so I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm kind of struggling with this. And sweet, just as sweet as pie, Faye. One day I got up, it was a Faye. Honey, you're not 20 anymore. So you need to change. You know, I didn't really think about the change. And I told my husband even yesterday, I said, John, I said, you know, the world has conditioned us to think that we are supposed to be a teenager or 20 all of our lives. So when we're 40, we're trying to take that die and make us be 20 again. I'm serious. And then when we get 50 and 60 and our body begins to change and we have to adapt, you know, but God is still with us in the adapting. He's still with us in the change. And the point is, no matter where we go, what we do, be okay with who God made you to be. Because he created us. And we don't have to conform to the image of the world. I know that's what they want us to do, but we don't have to because that brings pressure on us. You know what I'm saying? So we have to be careful and realize that we serve a king that is, and we're in a kingdom that is about our well-being, our spiritual well-being, our natural well-being. And we don't have to conform to anything that's not Christ-like. Don't even worry over it. Don't ponder over it. Just lay it aside and say, that's not what God has for me. And be okay with that. So that, because y'all, when we are distracted with other things, it causes us to kind of get off the track. It kind of makes us get our train off the track a little bit. And so sometimes people have to come along with the word of God and they have to just pick our little train up and put it back on the track. And say, okay, just keep moving. But if we don't settle that within us, y'all, everything that comes by, we are distracted. It pulls us away to become like what somebody wants us to be instead of becoming Christ-like. And that overflows not just in naturally what we look back, but that overflows into our attitude. That overflows in how we treat our children, how we treat our husbands, how we treat our wives, how we treat our brothers and our sisters in Christ. You know, being part of the body, and we'll get to that part when we get to the apostles, but being part of the body, I think, y'all, is a wonderful gift to us that we just don't understand. Because here in the South, we've been just taught to go to church. But what we haven't been taught is to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And in the relationship, he goes wherever you go. If I go to Canada, that doesn't mean that I'm still not married to John. That just means John is in here and I'm in Canada. But there's no separation. I just want you to keep that connection and make sure you know in your heart that, listen, he is with you everywhere you go. And if you need to call out to him, then you do that. the king in the kingdom. He is the only true and living God. Now I'm going to give you two scriptures because I want to establish him as a king. John 17 and 3 said, and this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true and living God, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Then Isaiah 45 and 5 says, I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no other God beside me. There is no other God beside him. There is no other God beside him. And so when the enemy comes to attack you, remember we talked about we have an adversary. And Mr. Jim said something that was so powerful after the class. He, even though we have an adversary, he said, but Ms. Faye, he is defeated. And so your adversary is defeated. So therefore, you don't really have to fight with him. All you have to do is make a choice and make a decision. The scripture says that if you rebuke him, then he'll flee. He'll go. So do what the words say. Don't cry, don't whine, don't roll on the floor and do all those things. Just speak to him so that he moves. Because we serve the true and living God. And know, and to know that sin no more has dominion over us, according to Romans 6 and 14. For sin shall not have. And you know what I like about the word shall? That's not a might or a maybe. That's not a might or that's not a maybe. That's a true statement. No, this is going to happen. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. That's the good thing about the new kingdom. It's grace, love, peace, all those things in the Holy Ghost. Now we have the responsibility to learn of Jesus and to build our spiritual house. Matthew 11 and 29 said this. It said, come unto me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. Why do we need rest for our souls?
So we can stay peaceful.
But what's in your soul? Tell me what's in your soul again. So I need to take that yoke upon me so that it can settle down my mind, my will, and my emotions and bring them under the word of God to a place of peace. Because I have a king that rules, a new king that rules in this kingdom. 1 Peter 2 and 5 says, you also, as living stones, are built upon a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ Jesus. So now, what we're going to do now is we're going to try to, this house up here, we're going to try to build this house. So the first, in this house, as we build it, and different ones are going to read for me, as we build this house, we know that we have a mandate. That mandate is to renew our minds. Okay, let's go. So the first one is, we are going to, I hope you all can see my little picture. I think I gave it to Mark, Mr. Mark. So we are going to Matthew 16, 13 and through 18, and we're talking about the rock. You need this.
Okay. Are we ready?
Yes, we're ready. Build on dirt, you know, naturally. And I thought, wow, the church, that the spiritual house that he's built, he's building that on a rock, which is solid. So, I don't know your name.
Aaron.
Can you read what a rock is?
A rock is when the minerals of the earth mix together and they become a rock. There are three major types of rock.
So this rock is solid. That's the piece I want to. Now read the scripture that goes with that.
This is Matthew 7:24-27. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it.
The elements that came against both of the houses, were they the same? In both of the houses, the rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew. But what was significant about the second house? It didn't fall. The first house, which one didn't fall? The first one. It didn't fall. So what does that tell us? Yes. And if we are founded on the rock, then the storms are going to come, the wind is going to come, other things are going to come. But what are we going to do? We're going to stand. We're going to be okay. So the next piece is the Ephesians 2:20. Who did I give that to? Eddie. Now, Eddie, I want you to read that, but I also want to make a statement after he reads it. Now, number one, remember y'all, I told you that the scripture that talks about everything shall be established with two or three witnesses. So, the two. Pepper, come get my phone, please. I'm sorry, y'all. You can take my pocketbook back there if you want to. I'm sorry. So, we need to establish everything when we go to study about something or something that's bothering you. Find more than one scripture that gives you the solid foundation to stand on. Some of them have really more than two or three, but just find you two or three that establishes you and study those. Don't just read them, study those. So Eddie's going to read about the chief cornerstone.
You said you want me to read about the foundation?
Which one did I give you? Ephesians?
Foundation, yes.
Okay, who did I give the chief cornerstone to?
Oh, really?
Here, okay.
The walls?
No, yours should be Ephesians 2:20.
With 1 Peter 2:5 is what I got.
No, you're talking about the living stone. That's us. Keep yours. Did I give anybody Ephesians 2:20? If I didn't, I can read it.
I got 2:19-22.
Yes, read that. That's it.
I'm sorry. So the foundation, first of all, the lowest load-bearing part of the building, typically below ground level. The actual founding, a basis upon which something stands or now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens of the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit.
Habitation. What does the word habitation mean to you? Dwelling place. So we know right here that the rock is the deity of Christ, according to Matthew, and then here, he's the chief cornerstone. What do you need the cornerstones in a house for? And what does it do? He said to build the rest of the house on, and what else?
Support.
So let's look now at the apostles and prophets, the foundation. Who did I give that to? Eddie, was that you too? No? Who has... Okay, so Eddie just read both of those for me then. We talked about the deity of Christ, and then the chief cornerstone, and then the apostles and the prophets. Now, I want to bring something to your attention. I kind of used Eddie for that because Eddie is an elder. And so Eddie kind of represents part of that piece that can build that foundation. You know, we have the fivefold ministry that was given to us for what? For the perfecting of the saints. So that, I'm sorry? Yes. So that part is part of the building. People don't really see the fivefold ministry as part of the building the ministry, but it is. That's what it's founded off of. So we have our rock, we have our foundation, we have our chief cornerstone. Now, so let's go to our door. Yes. Thank you for that. Yes.
So Jesus is a cornerstone, and everything is measured off of him.
Yes. Did y'all hear him? Did y'all hear him? That's a wonderful piece. Thank you for that. So now now you know in a normal house we got to build the walls, we got to build and then we put in the door. So let's go to the door. Who has John 10 and 19? 10 and 9. Wait a minute. I need to follow my little map. Let me look up my picture. Hold on. Oh, it's in my hand. Which one do you have, Lynn?
John 14:6.
Yes, you can read that one. So how are you going to get to, what are we going to do? What we're going to enter through to continually be with Jesus Christ, who are we going to enter to? The door. Can you come through the chimney? Can you come through a window?
No.
You know why I say that? It's because today, in 2024, for the last 10 or 15 years, they are basically teaching people that anything goes. You can do anything you want to. So you can come through the window, you can come through the chimney, you can come through the, you know, any which way you want to do. That's what they're teaching. And so we have to be aware of that, y'all. And so if somebody come and tell you you can go through the window, what will you do? What will you do? What will you do? That's kind of
true.
That's a good point. Good point. But what would we do? I'm serious. As a believer, what would you do? Who said that? Who said that? You would correct them. You say, no, honey, we can't go through the window. Because if we go through the window, we might fall. And it's a possibility somebody may see us and we'll go to jail. Yeah. So we can't go through the window. So we're going to take them by the hand and we're going to lead them to the door. That's a part of our witnessing piece. Is that when people come to us, and if people are not standing on the truth, if they are not telling you truth, we don't blast them. You know, we don't be ugly to them. We gently say, can I share something with you? Can I share something with you? Get their permission. Can I share this with you? And then you gently, as much as you can, as you read scripture to them to say, this is the truth right here. Do you believe? And one good question is, do you believe the Bible is true? Once they say yes, that's it. That's all we need to know. Then you read it to them, and you give them understanding. And if you can't, what else do we do? If you can't give them understanding, what else would you do? What would you do, Eddie?
Bring more people around.
Yes. See, it is okay to say, you know what? I can't help you with that, but I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm not going to disconnect to you until I find someone. I'm going to connect him with someone that can help him. Because you don't want him to keep trying to go through the window. You want to give him clear direction, because if you don't teach him or her not to go through the window or the chimney, they'll teach somebody else to go the same way they go. And the bad part about it is that they will think that is their truth and that is not their truth. See, a lot of things, y'all, we've been believing, it ain't really based on the truth. It's based on something somebody told us or how we felt. But we want truth, because in the time of my storm, I need truth to come deliver me. That's what I need. Because how you think and how you feel, that won't help you. Well, I was talking to a lady the other day, and she said, she kind of got an attitude. That was okay. And she said, well, it is. It's okay. And she said, well, in other words, I don't want to hear what the truth say. I want to hear what you say. I said, no, honey, you don't want to hear what I say. You don't want to hear mine. And she was like, yes, I do. I said, no, you don't. Because, see, I'm a different person than you. That mess you tolerate, I won't tolerate. I said, so that's the difference. I said, so let's stay with scripture so you can take that home with you and you can walk it through. But I can't give nobody my opinion, because we are different people. And there's some things by personality you will tolerate, I don't tolerate. So you'll think that's not the love of God. You know what I'm saying? Ain't no man gonna pop me upside the head. He ain't gonna do all that stuff. That ain't happening. Now, you might feel like that's your only way out. God help you till you get some help. But you got to love you enough. Come on, y'all. You belong to God. You got to love you enough not to allow people to violate you. And if you can't understand that, then all I can give you, and even Jesus don't want you to do that. I don't know who that's for, but even he don't want you to do that. That's not what he made you for. When he created us in his excellence. So that's not what he created us for. We were not put here to be abused and to be hurt and scandalized and all those things. We were not. Now, it's your choice whether you stay or go, but we were not created for that. And I'm going to leave that alone. Okay, and so the next one is the living stone. We did the door. Let's do the living stone. So we're going to do this part of the house. So who has 1 Peter 2 and 5?
Peter, 1 Peter 2 and 5 says, ye also as living stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ.
And that is our lives. Go ahead, I'm sorry. Yes, go ahead.
The folk verses?
Yes, that's fine. Yes, and in 1 Peter 2, 9, when he reminds them, if you have to remind somebody of something, that means they've let it slip a little bit. Or maybe they're thinking, you know, differently about it. So we need to be reminded, even when your mind tells you you're not good enough, you need to go to the scriptures and read what God says about you, because that's who you are. It is not what your mind tells you, because your mind generates the thoughts based on how you have, what you put in it. And what's in you will come out of you. You know, and that's just the truth about the matter. What's in you comes out. That's why it's so important that we knew the mind. Okay, we have one more, which is the truth. Now, this is what I like about the roof. The roof, it kind of closes in all the rest, and it makes a habitation that's safe. So if anything knocks on your door, you don't really have to let it in. So that's what I like about the roof part. And that's 1 Timothy 3:15. Who has that? Mr. Jim. Whose very nature is truth. So I think I have covered every piece of the house that we're supposed to have. So after today, I hope that I have given you all a foundation to build upon in your spiritual lives so that you don't have to tolerate and you know what to do and how to do. So, and even in your reading and in your studying, go to the Word of God. If the Word of God says something, then that pretty much settles the matter. And I don't really need to go to someone else with the truth of God's Word unless I don't understand it. Then all I have to do when I get it is to make a decision to humble myself and say, Lord, I'll obey you. I'll walk with you. I'll allow you to lead me through this life until you take me from this earth. Amen. Last scripture is renewing of the mind. Very important piece. And Hebrews. Romans 12 and 1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove. What do we say proof was? Evidence, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And this is not about, the things I'm reading to you is not about looking good in the eyes of other people. This is about, Lord, I want you to be pleasing with me in my life and what I do, what I say, how I live. Ephesians 4 and 2, 20 and 24 said, but ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have not been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put out the former conversations of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you may put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, put away lying, speaking every man truth with the neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Now, it didn't say that we could not be angry. It said, "Don't. When you're angry, don't sin." The last one, what I'm reading right now, at that is Ephesians 4, 20 through 24. And it says, neither, verse 27, neither give place to the devil. So when we are going through, we're going to stop. We're going to stop and say a moment and say, okay, Lord, what would you have me to do in this moment? I know what I want to do, but what would you have me to do? And then Hebrews 11 and 6 said, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. John 7 and 38 said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow the rivers of living water. And then in this last verse, Matthew 14, 1 through 6, Jesus is comforting his disciples. And coming to follow him means that we will become his disciples. It says, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. Father, I go and I prepare a place for you. And if I go and I prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. And where I am, there you may be also. And ye know the way where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way? Jesus says, listen to this, I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. That's your door. Will somebody pray over us? Brother Mike? Yes.
We come to you boldly, but yet humbly, in reverence, Lord, for who you are. You are the Lord our God, Father of our life, Father of our spirit. Let us be willing to humble ourselves and submit to you, Lord God, and live. Let us take these words that you talk to us. Let us understand that we are your household. We are your temple. Lord.
Yes.
We are those things. We are the ones.
Yes.
Yes,
yes. Yes. Yes.
Let us go, Lord, and let us display your glory, Lord, with exuberance, Lord, with
yes.
all our might.
Yes.
Let it be known to them that who you are, who we are, is one. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Again, thank you, thank you, thank you.